We're in Pirkei Avot, chapter 4, Mishnah 16. Rabbi Yaakov says this world is like a corridor in front of the next world. It's a very long corridor. It looks like a very long corridor. It's a very elaborate corridor. It's got a sun, a moon, stars, universe, massive animals, fish, birds. It's like very confusing. A person comes to this world and looks around them. They forget. They forget that this is just a corridor. It looks solid. A person says, you know what? I want to invest in this corridor. Imagine you invest in a corridor. Think about it. How much people spend for the lobby of the house, for the entrance of the house? How much do you spend? More than the rooms and more than the... So, imagine. So how much would a person spend on the lobby of the house corresponding to the rest of the house? So you got to understand, this is just the lobby. This is just the lobby area. This is just the corridor or entrance. This is the entrance. It's an entrance to the next world. It's very hard to imagine this. Hard. But it's very good to go over it every day on a daily basis and think, this world is temporary, this world is just a corridor. But it's a corridor, but a very precious corridor. Why is it a precious corridor? Because this corridor, everything depends on this corridor. What we do in this corridor, everything depends on. The whole Olam Haba depends, our world to come depends on how we behave in this corridor. Hatken atzmecha bepruzdo. Fix yourself. Look at this language over here. It's a very important language. Fix yourself. It's called tikkun. We have to hear, we're here for tikkun. We're here to fix ourselves. Fix yourself in this corridor. How do you fix yourself? What do you mean fix yourself? So Vindagon says, the main purpose of a person in this world is to fix their traits. Their traits. Their midot. A person's character traits. The Vindagon says. Vindagon says, in a very beautiful book. It's called Evan Shlema. I highly recommend it. Evan Shlema. The Vilna Gaon says, the main purpose of a person in this world is to fix the character traits. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Hatken atzmecha. We always hear about tikkun olam, tikkun olam, tikkun olam. Tikkun olam starts with?
Yourself.
It's very hard. Very hard. It's very hard to fix oneself. To be perfect. It's hard to be perfect. It's very hard to be perfect. I don't know anyone who's perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person. But that's our mission, is to try and make ourselves as perfect as possible. Try and perfect our character traits. How much we get angry, how much we get sad, how much we get involved, how much laughter. All these are traits, different traits that we have. So fix yourself in this corridor. This world is a corridor. Fix yourselves in this corridor. So that's our mission in life. He doesn't say fix the world, he says fix yourself. In order that we should be worthy of the world to come. So this corridor is a potential. It's a potential entrance into a world which is better than this. However, if we mess up in this corridor, I don't know, we'll probably get a second chance. I don't know. Come back. Hopefully. But if a person messes up in this corridor, it's very important. So this corridor, everything should be well. So let's give it an example. It's like, basically, it's like an airplane. You're going on the airplane. You're going the airplane ride to a certain destination. And the airplane ride is this world. Imagine, think about it. This world is the airplane ride. And if the airplane flies well, hopefully it's not a Max 7th, whatever it was. The airplane flies well.
You don't want the 307.
And you're behaving well, very well on the airplane. You're getting good food on the airplane. You'll survive to get to the next destination. And that's what we're doing in this world. This world is just the corridor. This world is the air flight to the next destination, which is Olam Haba. And it's so hard to imagine that. It's so hard to imagine that this is just a temporary world. It's so hard for a person to imagine. And when a person gets older, then they start thinking about it. They should start thinking about it. This world is temporary. A person's young, it's very hard for a young person to think about it. This world is a temporary place. We don't bury people, we plant them. Yeah, interesting. We don't bury people, we plant people. Because eventually, we know the dead are going to rise. But that's a different topic. But over here, we're worried about ourselves, our souls. A person has to fix themselves in this world in order to get into the traklin. What is a traklin? He says a traklin, this is the country of Rav Avadia Bar Tanura. He was a rabbi in Spain in the Middle Ages. Actually, in Italy, what am I saying? He's from Bar Tanura in Italy. Today they have named all the wines after great rabbis. All the wines are named after great rabbis. So Bar Tanura was a place, Rav Avadia and Bar Tanura. He was a Rav Avadia from Bar Tanura from Italy. So he says, Traklin. I'm just telling you what he says. Traklin. What is a Traklin? Makom Moshav HaMelech. It's a place where the king sits. It's the king's... Go on. The king's throne room. His throne room. If you want to go to the throne room, you've got to prepare yourself in the corridor outside. Make sure your tie, I've got to make sure my tie is good, you know. I've got to make sure you look good. You're going to see the king. Fix yourself in this world in order to go to the next world. Amazing, amazing, this amazing. We're in chapter 4, Mishnah 16, at least in this book. So, Rabbi Yaakov says, we have an obligation over here. This is our obligation. All the mitzvot we're doing is for this purpose. Why are we doing mitzvot in this world? We're doing mitzvot to perfect ourselves. Why do we keep kosher in this world? To perfect ourselves, to make ourselves better. All the mitzvot we're doing, everything we do in this world, all the acts of kindness, is there to perfect ourselves. We're trying to perfect ourselves in this world. So between man and man, and man and God, it's an amazing system. In Judaism, we have two facets of our lives. Man and man, man and God. Man and man, man and God. So some people are very good at man and man, but they're very bad at man and God. Some people are very good at man and God, but it's very hard to deal with people. I fall in that second category. It's easier to deal with God than deal with man. Man is trouble. Other people get hurt, you hurt their emotions, you hurt them, and they start screaming, and they go wild, and God doesn't reply. You know, at least not verbally, at least. He may reply through situations, that's a different issue. But, so there's man and man, there's man and God, you got to balance them in yourself as well. We said that's the Magen David, remember the Magen David? The triangle of the Magen David. Upwards, which is Hashem, upwards. Inwards, which is oneself, and outwards. Outwards is to other people. That's the Magen David of Judaism. What is Judaism? Torah, Avodah, Gimrut Hasadim. The world rests on three things. Torah, which is inwards. And learn Torah and try and figure out who I am. Learn Torah and try and figure out how to perfect myself. Torah, Avodah is service of God. So it's upwards. And Gimrut Hasadim is reaching outwards to other people. To helping other people. So a person has to have balance in the world. It's so hard to have balance in the world. So a person's got to know how to balance their life. How do I balance my life? I got to worry about myself. I got to learn Torah for myself. I got to serve God as well, and I got to help other people as well. It's a hard balance. That's the Magen David. That's the triangle of the Magen David. So there's two triangles. One is the individual triangle, and one is the societal triangle, the community triangle. So we have to try and figure the system out. But that's how we fix ourselves. We have to fix ourselves in all three ways. So we have to fix ourselves in the way between man and God. We have to fix ourselves man and man. We have to fix ourselves inside as well. Amidot, our character traits. That's how we fix ourselves. So we have this limited time. People's got to realize this corridor is just limited time. What does David HaMelech say? Yemesh shenot ha'adam. How long does a person live? 70 shana. A person lives 70 years. V'im b'gvurot, it means mighty. 80 shana. 70, 80, today is getting a bit higher.
Right. It's getting higher.
But as I talked to someone in the old age home, he's a rabbi of old age home, he says, listen, I make kiddush for these guys, how much do they really know what's going on? Can I give the guy an aliyah? He barely knows how to say the... Imagine, we go back to being a child. Human nature is like a parabola. The parabola. We go up, we get reach the heyday, mm-hmm. And then it's a slow descent after that. So it's a horrible system. It's a horrible system Hashem created. But the purpose of the system is to prepare for the end. To prepare for the end this way. A person has like a parachute landing. A soft descent. Some people just go like that. They go at the top and then they're gone. Guy dies with a heart attack, 45 years old. So that's going at the reaching the top. But some people come a slow descent. My mother, thank God she's still alive. She has a slow descent. She's in the old age home and slow. You see the slow descent. Hashem, mm-hmm. Slow descent. So that's a person who reaches the ripe old age. But that's the most we can hope for.
Hard place for him to work.
That's the most...
Seeing.
It's a very hard place. Okay, anyway, so we have to try and fix ourselves. We have a limited amount of time. We have to realize that time is limited. The most precious object we have is time. And time is the easiest object to waste. Easiest thing to waste in the world. All you have to do is do nothing. It's very easy. Person does nothing, they're just wasting their time. On the other hand, they're not doing anything bad. But wasting time itself, bittul Torah, is wasting time to learn. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. A person's got to balance. How much time do I need to recover, to recuperate, to rest? And how much time do I need to play, and how much time do I need to work, and how much time do I need to learn Torah? Person's got to balance. Life is all about finding the right balance. It's really all about finding the right balance, and it's very hard to find the right balance. So a person can really be an extremist in one thing. So a person's an extreme fan of, football or basketball and all this stuff. But he's an extremist. Every game, he's got to be there every game, every game, that's an extremist. A person's got to find balance. Okay, a person's got to find balance in life. How much time do I spend with my wife? How much time do I spend with the kids? How much time do I spend at work? How much time do I spend learning Torah? It's all balancing. It's a balancing act. So that's perfection. Perfection is very hard to achieve, but that's our mission. We strive for perfection. We strive for it. We know we can't reach it, but we strive for perfection. There's only one being that's perfect. That's Hashem. Hashem, Hatzur Tamim Paolo. Hashem, His works are perfect. Hashem is perfect. We cannot reach perfection, but that's good. Why? Because we're not meant to reach perfection. We're meant to strive for perfection. We can't reach perfection. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the greatest people around, he never reached perfection. Why? Because it says he sinned. He says he broke the Hashem said, speak to the rock, and he hit the rock. That gives us some kind of comfort. That even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't reach perfection. So what am I? So I can't reach perfection either, but I got to aim for it. We have to aim for perfection. It's like a kid in school. If you aim for 100 in your test, you may get
90.
If you don't even aim for 100, because, you know, some schools the kids are just, I aim to pass. You aim for pass, the chances are maybe you won't even pass. So it's very important to aim high. So a person's got to fix themselves. We have limited time to fix ourselves. We have to fix ourselves. This is the time to fix ourselves. So this is the Pruzdor. This is the corridor. So the commentary over here, the Rashi says over here, Pruzdor is a language which is a Greek. It's a Greek word. It's the passageway between the gate and the courtyard to see the king, the king's courtyard. So there's a little corridor over there. That is the passageway. In order to go in front of the king, so a person who wants to go in front of the king has to first, has got to comb their hair, has got to fix their beard, has got to fix their clothes, in order that he goes in front of the king. What is this comparable to? He says, doing teshuva and good deeds. We're going to meet God, Hashem. We're going to meet Hashem. How do you meet Hashem? A person's got to meet Hashem through teshuva and good deeds. So that is the way we fix ourselves in this corridor. And we have this parable of Shabbat. Thank God. Why? What is Shabbat for? Shabbat is Me'en Olam Haba. Me'en Olam Haba. Shabbat is the parable of Olam Haba. Shabbat gives us a little glimpse of Olam Haba. What do you mean it's a glimpse of Olam Haba? In Shabbat you can't do any work. Which means if you don't prepare on Friday, the rabbis say, you don't get to eat on Shabbat. So if Shabbat is Olam Haba, if you don't prepare on Friday, this world, you don't get to eat in Olam Haba. So it's the parable of our lives in a big sense, in a big way. So Shabbat is a very big part of fixing ourselves. Why? Because on Shabbat, that is the spiritual existence. A person goes to Shabbat, and he eats, and he learns Torah, and spends it in a spiritual way. That's the main Olam Haba. That's a taste of the world to come. So Shabbat is a beautiful taste of Olam Haba. So, but a person's got to prepare for Shabbat. Preparing for Shabbat is what we're talking about. We have to prepare for Shabbat, the big Shabbat. You know, it's interesting because we repeat this in Jewish law. Shabbat is repeated in many different ways. It's repeated the way of Shemitah. What is Shemitah? Anyone here?
Shemitah is the
sabbatical year.
Year.
So every 7 years we have a Shabbat. Right. Amazing. Think about it. Hashem says, not enough. People get one day a week as a Shabbat. It's not enough of a reminder. Why? Because we get a reminder every week. What happens? It becomes like a habit. So you know what? Every 7 years, I'm going to give you another reminder. Of Shabbat.
Right.
The concept of Shabbat. The concept of there's going to be Olam Haba. The concept is you work, 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 but there's going to be an end to the work. What is the purpose of all the work? To get to a level of spirituality, of Shemitah. And then it's not enough. You know why it's not enough?
It's
every 7 times 7, 49 years, the 50th year is Yovel. So we need constant reminders. Otherwise, a person just goes through this world and doesn't realize what this world's about. This world is not about work, 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 and have fun. Work, 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 and Olam Haba. That's what it was about. Work, 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 and Olam Haba. We have to put that in our frame of reference. What are we doing here? We are striving to fix ourselves to get teshuvah and good deeds to be able to get to Olam Haba. That's what we're doing here. So there's two retirements. It's even harder, you know. Right? We're going to try to retire in this world and try to retire in the next world as well. So it's good in a sense. Why? Because a person retires, now they can focus on the second retirement. You have more time to focus on the second retirement. How do we get to the second retirement? The second retirement is a retirement forever. It's eternal retirement. Imagine how long it lasts. It's hard to remember what eternity is. What is eternity? So Rav Dessler gives us a little example. He says, start counting sand.
Good luck.
How long will it take you? One, two. Good That's luck. Eternity, he says. Now you give an exact idea what eternity is. Eternity is count sand. Count the stars. So that's eternity. You have to realize that the next world is eternity. The
Does
next world.
Do nothing for eternity. That would drive me crazy.
Exactly. So that's there's not nothing. It's a spiritual world where you enjoy spirituality. But if you don't enjoy spirituality in this world, you won't enjoy spirituality in the next world. So it's, I call it an acquired taste. Spirituality is an acquired taste. My father, Alav Shalom, he started being a vegetarian. He went, health food. He started becoming health food conscious in his old age. Health food conscious. So he was started eating some kind of Brussels sprouts. Have you know what Brussels sprouts are? Little cabbages. So I come home and the house is stinking. Because these things, you put them in a pot, he boils them, and
like
they stink. And he would pop them. He would grab one, two, three. That was his meal. Started getting health conscious. I said, God, how can you eat that stuff? How can you eat a Brussels sprout? Pop it in your mouth. And he would enjoy it. I don't know how he, And the answer is, it's an acquired taste. Everything is an acquired taste. Spirituality is an acquired taste. Just sitting over here listening to a rabbi speak, it's like acquired taste. If you enjoy it, you're going to enjoy Olam Haba. What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is when the rabbi has no watch. The speech just keeps on going. That's Olam Haba. So for some people it's Olam Haba, for some people it'll be Gehinam, it'll be hell. You see people looking at the watch all the time. Stupid. He's still going. So that's Rav Victor Miller. Rav Victor Miller's Alav Hashem is say. He said, what is the difference between heaven and hell? Heaven is when the rabbi has no watch. And hell is when the rabbi has no watch. So for some people it's going to be heaven, some people it's going to be hell. That's also a question. Okay, that's also the question.
We could listen to you all day long, but there are rabbis like we want to listen to it all.
Oh, okay, let's not go there. Let's not go there, okay. But some people love it. Some people love it. I don't know, some people love it. And some people don't love it. So a person loves it, that's heaven. The person doesn't love it, it's hell. The guy likes playing golf all day. He goes to heaven, he says, where's the golf? What golf? There's no golf. There's God, there's no golf. But golf, I'm here for golf. I live for golf. Where's the sports? There's no sports over here. We're here for sports. What are we going to do over here? Now, a person's got to get into the rhythm of spirituality. I like going to shul. I like sitting in the shul and thinking about Hashem. You're going to enjoy Olam Haba. Because you're going to have lots of time in the shul in the Olam Haba. Lots of time. So that is a person we have to get into the mode. People are going to realize, get into the mode now because otherwise you're not going to enjoy it. A person's going to get into the mode of loving these things. And then you're going to love Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba is just taking all the spirituality in this world and multiplying it by 50, 60, 100, thousands. Okay, we'll continue. Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says, Hu haya omer. In the next Mishnah, Yafa Shah Achat Betshuva Masim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh. Think about this. This is an amazing statement over here. What would you prefer? A minute in this world or a minute in the next world? Well, we don't know. I've never been in the next world. I don't know what the next world is all about. Rav Yaakov is giving us a glimpse. He says, look what he says. He says, if you're engaged in good deeds in this world, if you're engaged in Teshuva in this world, it's better than the whole of the next world. What does that mean? If you're engaged in 1 minute of teshuva and good deeds in this world, it's better than the whole next world put together. Why? What's going on? And the answer is, in this world, we can elevate ourselves. In this world, we can grow. In the next world, we're stuck.
We're in a plateau.
In the next world, you're just retired. You're retirement. You can't earn anymore. That's it. That's it. Whatever you reach, that's the way. You're in orbit now. Think about it. The spacecraft takes off, shoots off. The engine and dies out. You're in an orbit now. Whatever you reach in orbit, that's where you are. You're stuck in orbit. You can't go higher. The same thing applies to the next world. So just imagine, a person busy with mitzvot and good deeds in this world, in 1 minute, is better than the whole next world, because over here is growing, and the next world can't grow. Amazing. So it's very important to know this, that when a person is involved in doing good deeds, they're getting a reward more than the whole next world. It's like you're growing more than you'd ever grow before, anywhere else. It's amazing. It's an amazing concept. So we have to realize that this world is just a corridor, but this world we have the opportunity to grow. We have the opportunity to achieve. And we shouldn't waste that opportunity. So I just want to read you this commentary. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona, rhymes. Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona, he was a cousin of the Ramban, Nachmanides. The only difference was Ramban lived in Spain and Rabbeinu Yonah lived in southern France. So he was exposed to the Ashkenazi culture in France. And he was one of the great French rabbis who put the Rambam in Cherem. The French rabbis, the cousin of the Ramban. The Ramban was pro-Rambam and told us, calm down, relax. The Rambam is a great man. And they put the Rambam in Cherem. They started burning the Rambam's books in France. And eventually the French said, you're burning Jewish books, we'll burn Jewish books as well. They confiscated all the sets of Talmud and they burnt it as well. After they burnt the Talmud on the same pile as they burnt the Rambam, he did teshuvah. Rabbeinu Yonah said, he went around all the synagogues in France, can imagine, apologizing in public. I apologize for what I did to the Rambam. But the Rambam was dead already. Rambam didn't care, he was dead already. But he went through every synagogue in France, apologizing to the Rambam, to the honor of the Rambam. Because he realized what a big mistake. And he wrote a book called Gates of Repentance, Shaarei Teshuvah of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a commentary here, beautiful commentary on Pirkei Avot. I just want to read you his commentary. So look what he says. Shebashak tana ba'olam hazeh, in a small period of time in this world, Adam marviach olam haba, a person can attain the next world. Imagine. In a short period of time. Imagine. And amazing. So just, the Gemara brings down many different stories where a person earns the olam haba in 1 second. There's many different stories in Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. Gemara talks about different people who did teshuva, and in 1 second they became ben olam haba. And it says when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi heard that, he would cry. He says, here I am struggling all my life to be ben olam haba, and these guys earn olam haba in 1 second. Just shows that a person can do certain things and they can win the jackpot. Just like today, you can win a lottery. A person can win the lottery of life. Can you imagine? When a person wins the lottery of life, it's like a race. If you look at a race, and you have a horse over there who is called a dark horse. What's a dark horse? No one thinks it's good. The odds on that horse winning is like 200, 300. And that horse wins. Comes from nowhere. No one even thinks about it. You have great rabbis over there learning all day Torah. And this guy from somewhere came learning, hey, ben olam haba. Why? Because he did one mitzvah properly. He did something so great that he beat everyone else up. So he brings down stories. There's stories in the Gemara of people who won the olam haba in seconds. They go first olam haba. And that's what he means. Yafesh shachar. Even 1 second, a person can win the olam haba more than anything else. In 1 second, you have good deeds or teshuvah, a person can win the olam haba. So we have to realize that it could be today, it could be tomorrow. A person just does one good deed. That's all it takes. One good deed with all their concentration. They can win the ticket. They can win that ticket. Just doing it with all their powers, all their energies, with the best kavanah, with enjoyment and with thrills and with gusto, worth more than all the other people, all the other mitzvot. So we have to realize one good deed can outweigh everything else. Yafesh shachar, just 1 second, he says, of teshuva, and we can do this through teshuva. You don't even go. You don't even have to leave your chair. That's the beauty of teshuva. The person can do it in his head. Person can do teshuva in one's head, teshuva and good deeds, it's very precious to God, because God sees, we just see the actions that people do. We just see people's faces, we don't know what's going on in their heads. Hashem is, can imagine, looking at our minds, oh gosh, scary, right? He's reading our minds, and Hashem says, that guy's mind I like. They're thinking good thoughts all the time, they're thinking positive thoughts all the time, they're thinking Torah all the time, they're thinking about me all the time. I like that. That guy's going to get rewarded. He didn't do anything, he's just sitting in his chair. So that's why in Judaism, life is precious. Say a person's in their bed, in the hospital, they can't move, but their thoughts are precious. That's why every second of life is precious, as long as a person can think. The seconds of life are very precious, and that's why Judaism is very pro-life. We're very pro-life. Because even though a person can't move, I heard a case yesterday of a person who can't move, paraplegic. He can just move his eyes, and he communicates with his eyes. Mm-hmm. but he's a happy person. It's amazing. Yeah, I think about it. He's a happy person. So it's the brain, it's the mind. I was talking to a doctor today. He says, I see people whose strength of mind can push their body. The body is 80 years old, but his mind is 30 years old. He says. So mind is very powerful. We can build buildings in our heads, spiritual buildings in our heads, by thinking good thoughts. So it's very powerful. The mind is very, very powerful. We can do teshuvah in our head. Very powerful. So just 1 second of teshuvah and good deeds in this world is better than the whole next world. Why? Because the next world we can't grow, and this world we can grow. And then he says, Yafesh ha'achat shel koret ruach ba'olam hazeh, but the reward in the next world beats out all the pleasures of this world put together. Think of all the pleasures of this world. So the guy says, you know, what pleasures do you get in life? Oh, steak. I love steak. Okay. How many steaks did you eat in life? Let's work it out. If you have one a day, it's 365. If you live for 70 years, it's how much? 365. 3,600. Times 7. Come on, let's go. Approximately 21,000 steaks he had in life. All those steaks, the pleasure of all those steaks, 1 second in Lama Ba. 1 second in Lama Ba is better than all those thousands of steaks. Imagine 1 second. Just 1 second. How much? Look at it. We eat food. But the pleasure from the food is just when it's in the mouth. Once you swallow it,
it's gone.
It's gone. Tragic, right? Imagine. It's tragic, really tragic.
They'll get there faster because they'll have eaten all that steak and gotten all the cholesterol in there.
That's what I say. That's what I can see. The cholesterol.
I'm just giving an example. I'm just, don't take it in. I'm just giving an example. No, I don't like steak. But personally, I don't eat steak. Believe me, I don't eat steak. You know what happened to me? I went to a restaurant in Israel called El Gaucho. Have you heard of El Gaucho?
Yes, Argentina.
You were there?
Yes.
So El Gaucho is an Argentinian restaurant.
In Kiryat Motzkin?
Yeah, whatever it is. I remember. A long time ago. And that turned me off steak in my life. That's it. I went to that. You go to, it's an Argentinian restaurant. All they have over there is meat.
Steak. Right, because that's what they get their
so
meat.
So I went. So, okay, so I went. A friend took me over there. He's doing me a favor. Would you like a meat restaurant? I said, oh, a meat restaurant. Okay, a meat restaurant. Go to El Gaucho. Cowboy, I see the picture of the cowboy and the cowboy. That's so. I'm sitting over there. What would you like? A steak? Okay, a steak. Okay. So I get a plate with this piece of meat over there, like this, and a glass of Coke, and that's it. That was my dinner. That was the dinner.
Did they give you any vegetables?
No, no vegetables at all. It's El Gaucho. This is Argentina. This is that's all they eat. Steak. That's it. So I sit over there. Can't cut the thing. Can you take this back and cook it, please? It comes back 2 minutes later, same thing. Can't cut it. Chewy, like. No more steak in my life. That's
I don't blame you.
So my wife says, you know what, I'll have a chicken. They give her half a chicken. That's it. Half a chicken. Half a roast chicken. That's it. That's it. Not going to El Gaucho anymore. That's it. But you know what? Some people eat. That's what they do. They love it. They love it. They go back. El Gaucho. Very good. Okay. But I'm just. That's why I'm just giving an example of steak. I don't like steak. I don't like steak. Anyway. But I'm just giving an example. This is all just an example. Okay. Don't get carried away. So it's just an example. So a person might think, you know, I like this. Okay. Add up all the pleasure you get by eating this in your lifetime. 1 second Lama Ba is better than all the pleasures you got. Wow. Amazing. So it's better than the whole of this world. All the pleasures of this world don't stack up for 1 second in the next world. Imagine, think about it. It's hard to imagine. 1 second of a Lama Ba. Man, what kind of pleasure is that? And the answer is, see, body pleasures are limited. Physical pleasures are limited. Spiritual pleasures are unlimited. Because the soul is unlimited. And therefore the pleasure the soul gets, it's much unlimited. It's unlimited. The bodies were limited. How much can we eat? How much can we sleep? How much can we do other things? How much can we do it? We can't do it. We're limited by our body. We just can't do it. We'll go sick. We'll get sick. Well, the Romans and the Greeks, they would vomit and eat again and vomit and eat again. And eat, and that's it, because they want to stuff themselves. They can't stuff themselves. You're full.
That's bulimia.
Bulimia. But that's what they did. That's what they did. It was because they just wanted to have pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure. But we don't realize the human body is limited. We can't have pleasure. How much pleasure can you eat? But in the next world, you're unlimited. Spiritual pleasure is unlimited. That's what we're saying over here. You want physical pleasure? It's limited. You want spiritual pleasure? It's unlimited. Unlimited spiritual pleasure. Beautiful Mishnah. This is a beautiful Mishnah. This we should put a motto on our walls. This world is just a corridor. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do up my kitchen. It's true. I need a kitchen. I want to do up my basement. I would like basement. It's good. I didn't say we have to live in a hut. But how many times do you have to do it? How many times do you have to remodel? What about your next world? Worry about your next world. You fix your house, worry about your next world now. I worry about my next world. You retire, worry about your next world. What about your next retirement? The person's got to remember, there's another retirement after this. So now, the person should invest in the next retirement. How do I invest in the next retirement? Teshuva and Ma'asim Tovim. Doing teshuva and good deeds. We're going to try and do good deeds. And Bezrat Hashem will be successful, and we'll see each other there in the next world. All of us together have a shiur over there. But instead of my shiur, we'll be going Moshe Rabbeinu's shiur, even better, you know, Moshe Shimon Bar Yochai's shiur, Rabbi Akiva. There's other shiurim to go to, Baruch Hashem. Okay, we're moving on. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer. Very important point. What do you do? How do you deal with someone who is angry? How do you deal with an angry person? Now, imagine this Mishnah is totally unrelated to the previous Mishnah, right? Here we have one Mishnah, and then the Mishnah talks about Olam Haba, and this world is very beautiful, and then we're being more practical, down to earth. In this world, you're dealing with a lot of people who are very upset. Unfortunately, it's very tragic. A lot of people today are upset. A lot of people are angry. Either because circumstances, you know, they don't feel they got a good deal, whatever, they're very angry. And sometimes you deal with a person who's very angry. So what do you do when a person's angry? So number one rule is, don't try and calm them down when they're angry. Amazing, because it's totally opposite what a person's natural tendency. Calm down, calm down. You tell a person to calm down, it makes them even more mad.
Right.
So what the commissioner says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Al teratzet chavercha b'shar kaso. Don't try and pacify someone when they're angry. Okay. Why? He's going to get even more mad. He's going to get even mad. So what do you do? He doesn't tell us what to do. He just says, don't pacify them when they're angry. My rabbi in Israel had a tremendous technique, which was amazing. He says, you're angry, I can't talk to you. I have a policy, I don't talk to people when they're angry. So what? Can you imagine? You're mad, man, man. He says, I can't talk to you right now. You have to, either you leave or I leave. I can't talk to you right now, you're angry, I can't. I have a policy, I don't talk to angry people. Psh, it's amazing. I'll talk to you when you're calm. I can't talk to you now. The truth is, you can't talk to someone who's mad. He's off his rocker. They're off the rocket. You can't talk to them. You can't have a serious conversation with them because they're not thinking logically. So what do you do when someone's mad? Number one is you tell them, I can't talk to you right now. Or you just say yes, 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 and you leave the room. You can't deal with someone who's crying, who's angry. Number two, this is also very important. You know, you go to someone who lost their relative, pardon me now. You go to a house of mourning. Say, I'm so sorry. Al tenachamenu b'sham shematom utalefanav. Don't pacify him when the dead person is right there.
Right.
Don't say, oh, it's okay. What do you mean it's okay?
It's not
okay. So again, the guy is crying. Don't try and pacify them. Let them cry. Let them get the tears out. Let them get the suffering out. Let them get the tragedy out. The time of destruction is not a time to pacify someone. You can't pacify someone when something bad has happened. You can't. What you can do is just sit there and wait it out and help them through it. You cannot pacify them and say, it's okay, it'll be alright. Well, it's not going to be alright. Right now is not the time to pacify someone until the 7 days of mourning. Towards the end of the 7 days of mourning, 3 days for Bechi, it says. The first 3 days is cry. After the first 3 days, then the pacification starts. It's very hard. Because, you know, who feels the loss is the mourners. The mourners feel the loss. So now I'm a third party. I don't feel their loss. They're feeling a loss, and I don't feel their loss. So what am I going to do? I have to show empathy. How do you show empathy? I feel your loss. I feel your pain just sitting there, just by sitting.
It depends on how close you are to the person who just died.
Of course. If you're closer you are, the more you feel the loss. Number three. And this, today, Baruch Hashem, not so common. Today we got in the habit of saying, Bli Neder. No vows. We don't make any vows. It's very important to say, Bli Neder, Bli Neder, Bli Neder. Why? Because we don't even know how to make a vow. Most people don't know how to make a vow today. But everything good that you say you're going to do, that's a vow. I was going to know that. Every time you say you're going to do a mitzvah, it's a vow. Automatically, it's a vow. Person says, I'm going to give staka. I'm going to give, you go to the Torah and you make an aliyah donation. Well, that's one of the main, hopefully. Make an aliyah donation, $180. It's a vow. Person should say, Bli Neder, just in case they forget. Person says, you know, tomorrow I'm going to shul. I'm going to do this mitzvah, I'm going to do that mitzvah. It's a vow. So the person should always say, b'li neder, without a vow, without a vow, without a vow. But a person made a vow, you shouldn't say, annul your vow. Straight away, he made a vow. So he wants to make the vow. Don't go to him when he made a vow and say, annul your vow. Why? He's hot to make the vow. Now, don't tell him to annul the vow. This is amazing insight over here. This is like the worst thing you can do to someone is be part of that person's life when they are being embarrassed. Like say a person comes in and they trip and they fall down. And they look up and they look around them and everyone's looking at them. It's like the most embarrassing thing. Try to look away. Don't be part of someone else's shame. Don't look at someone when they are in shame. Look at this. It's amazing, amazing insight. This is four very valuable lessons of dealing with situations of other people. So let's just recap. Number one, don't try and pacify someone when they're angry. It doesn't work. It's not going to work, make the worse. So don't pacify them when they're angry. Avoid the situation. Go away. Don't talk to them. Just go away from them. Leave them. It's a terrible thing. Don't argue with them. That's the worst thing you can do is argue. Number two, someone is in pain. Don't try and pacify them. When the pain, the cause of the pain is right in front of them. Number three, when they made a vow, don't tell them to go and ask and annul the vow at the same time. And number four is when someone is being embarrassed, try not to be around. Don't be around someone when they're being embarrassed because it just shows that you're happy or you're enjoying the fact that they're being embarrassed. Okay, now we're moving on to Mishnah number Yutet, which is 19, Shmuel HaKatan. Now, this is an interesting rabbinical phenomenon. The rabbis always call someone who is greater small. They want to make him big-headed. So they call this rabbi, who is one of the greatest rabbis ever, Shmuel HaKatan. The small Shmuel.
Was he short?
No. No. He was a genius, not short in stature. They call it Shmuel HaKatan, so he shouldn't get big-headed. Amazing. Think of this. Shmuel HaKatan. Everyone knew he was the greatest. Shmuel HaKatan. How do we know he's the greatest? Because it says when Rav Gamliel wanted to make the Amidah, the Shmona Esrei, they added an extra prayer, 19 blessings. It always was 18 blessings. That's why it's called Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei means 18. The rabbis in the time of Rav Gamliel added number 19 blessing. You know that? What's a 19th blessing? How many blessings in the Shmona Esrei? 19. But it was 18 before that. Who made the Shmona Esrei? Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer lived in the time between the destruction of two temples, between the period after the first temple was destroyed, around 700 BCE. Around 700 or 600 BC in that time period. And Ezra HaSofer came along, no korbanot, no sacrifices, no temple. So the unshakenness, the Gdola leaders, the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Okay, around that time. I'm giving a rough estimate. So the temple is destroyed, and he comes along. No korbanot. What should we do? We'll make prayers instead of korbanot. Instead of sacrifice, we'll have prayers. And therefore he writes, him and the 120 rabbis, who were the leaders of the great assembly, they wrote the prayers of the 18 blessings. 18 blessings a day, keep the doctor away. You say 18 blessings a day, but it's not 18 blessings a day, it's 18 times 3. You say shacharit, mincha. At that time, it was only times 2. Arvit became like an optional extra. Because there are only two korbanot every day in the temple. There's a morning and there's an afternoon korbanot. There's no korban in the evening. So Arvit was for the leftovers that were burnt at night. So therefore that's why there's no repetition in Arvit. Why is there no repetition in Arvit?
Because
you don't have to repeat it. There's no one there to do. You don't have to be motzi other people. There's no korban. So two times 18 a day. And what happened was the time Rabban Gamli of the period of time.
Friday night you do like a short partial repetition.
Yes, true. The rabbi said, we want people to have time to go home. In those days, the synagogues were outside the towns. You can imagine living in the... You weren't allowed to pray in a town. The Jews never had synagogues in town because you weren't allowed to pray in a town. It was idolatry. The idol worshippers threw us out of the towns. You weren't allowed to pray. You weren't allowed to have synagogue. They would pray outside town. They can imagine walking outside town. Very dangerous. So the rabbi said, you know what? On Friday nights, when people are walking outside, we're going to make a special service. So a person who comes late won't be delayed in the synagogue. He'll have time to catch up and go back with everyone else. They made a repetition just for that reason. To help people to catch up and go with everyone else. Don't be alone in the synagogue outside the town. So People don't realize how much history there is in the formula of the rabbis. So the history is the temple was destroyed. Ezra Sofer and the 120 rabbis said, you know what, instead of korbanot, we're going to make tefillah, we're going to make prayers. We make half this institution of 18 blessings a day, times two. And then hundreds of years later, Rabban Gamliel comes on and he says, we have a phenomenon now. What's the phenomenon now? There are Jews who are causing trouble for other Jews. They are going and telling tales to the government, the Romans, and getting other Jews into trouble.
So they
made the 19th verse, which is Lamalchinim. Laminim and Lamalchinim al titiva. That's what I'm saying. So the Minim and the Malchinim. Who are the Minim? The Minim were the early Christians. People don't realize the early Christians were Jews.
But they stuck it in the middle, they didn't put it at the end.
Right, they stuck in the middle. Who wrote this prayer? Shmuel HaKatan. Why did Shmuel HaKatan have chosen to write this prayer? Because Shmuel HaKatan, number one, was greatest. Number two, Shmuel HaKatan had a motto. Look at his motto. This is the Mishnah. And he's quoting Shlomo HaMelech. This is from Mishlei, chapter 24, verse 19, you know, 17. Mishlei is amazing. Mishlei is book of parables. Have you heard of the book of parables? Shlomo HaMelech wrote three books. What are the three books? Quickly, let's go. Number one. Proverbs, which is Mishlei. Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, and Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs. Three books he wrote. One of his books was Mishlei. Mishlei is Proverbs, amazing Proverbs. Each proverb is a whole book. You can write a whole book about each proverb. Each proverb is so deep. So this is one of his proverbs. Binfol oivecha al tismach. When your enemy falls, don't be happy. Amazing. When you see your enemy falling, don't be happy. Yes, very similar, very similar. Uvikishlo al yagel lebecha. And when he trips, don't be happy in your heart. Pen yireh Hashem. In case Hashem will read your mind, v'da be'ena v'yashiv me'alav apo. And he'll know, and he'll say, ah, this guy's laughing at someone else's fall, I'll make him fall as well. So a person shouldn't be rejoicing at other people's tragedies. We should be sad when other people are sad and commiserate with them because it could also happen to us. So a person might trigger Hashem's anger and say, why, you don't feel sorry for someone? You should. Pardon me now. It should never happen to us. So it's very important to have empathy with other people, see their troubles, and not rejoice. This guy's in trouble. I'm glad. I'm so happy he's in trouble. No. Shouldn't rejoice at someone else's pain. But you should feel empathy for someone else's pain. In case Hashem sees and gets angry. So it's a very important idea, the idea of empathy. We have to learn empathy. So let's move on. Elisha ben Abuya. Now, Elisha ben Abuya, this is amazing, because this Mishnah is one of the few Mishnah which mentions his name. Elisha ben Abuya was the son of a very wealthy man. Abuya was a very wealthy man who invited all the great rabbis for the brit of his son Elisha. Imagine, he's a real wealthy man. He has a son, he called him Elisha, after the great prophet Elisha, right?
This is before he became the Apikoros.
Of course. How do you know? Because his name is mentioned. After he became an Apikoros, they wouldn't say his name. They'd say Acher.
Yeah.
They wouldn't call his name. This is one of the few places it says his name. Which is amazing. They kept his name over here. So this is before he became an Apikoros. So Elisha ben Abuya had the greatest brit. Can you imagine? He had all the rabbis at his brit. And the rabbis are learning Torah, and the father was very impressed. He says, I want my son to be like these rabbis. So the son, unfortunately, he had the wrong intentions. There's different opinions what happened to Elisha ben Abuya. So one story is that he saw a father tell his son, son, climb the ladder and shoo the mother bird away from its egg and take the egg and come down. And the son goes up the ladder, shoos away the mother bird, gets the egg and falls down the ladder and breaks his head and dies. So Elisha ben Abuya says, there's two mitzvot in the Torah with long life. There's more, but these two at least long life. Honoring parents and shooing away the mother bird. And this boy did both and he died. How come? So you see, the Torah's not true. I don't believe in God anymore. That's one opinion. Second opinion says, there were four great rabbis went into the Pardes. They became Kabbalists and they started meditating. Rabbi Akiva, Elisha ben Abuya, Ben Zoma, and Ben Azai. Four great rabbis went into the Pardes. Ben Azai died. Ben Zoma went mad. Elisha ben Abuya saw two gods in the world. He became an Apikoros. That's the second story of Elisha ben Abuya. Third story is, says he would read Greek philosophy, and that turned him away from God. So three different opinions. What happened to Elisha ben Abuya? But anyway, let's go back to the first story of how did that kid die? Why did that kid die? So the Gemara says a very important rule. It says, Shaliach mitzvah enam nizokin. A person involved in a mitzvah cannot be damaged. If you're involved in a mitzvah, you cannot be damaged. However, it says that's only when there's nothing dangerous going on. Whereas in a normal state of circumstances, the person involved in a mitzvah will not get. But if he goes on a rickety ladder, and that's what it says over there. The ladder was rickety. In other words, they never took precautions on the ladder. So even though the kid's doing two mitzvot, but the ladder is rickety, you cannot rely on a miracle. So even if you're doing a mitzvah, you cannot rely on a miracle. Right? So a person says, you know, I got to go do a mitzvah, I got to go on this airline, do a mitzvah, but the plane is not an airworthy plane. You can't rely on miracles. And if the plane's going to crash, it will crash. So that's one answer. So what does Elisha ben Abuya say? This is very fascinating because this is part of pedagogy. Halomed yeled, namahu domeh. A person who teaches a boy, a child. What is it like? Lidiok tuva al niyar hadash. It's like writing on clean, pure paper. The things you learn when you're young, it's like writing on clear paper. So everything is written down clearly. But teaching adults, elder people, namahu domeh, lidiok tuva al niyar machuk. It's like writing on paper which has been previously erased. Because if you want to learn something well, the time to do it when you're young. I learned more when I was young, I tell you. See little kids today, learning Mishnayot by heart. They're learning Gemarot by heart. They know everything. All their lives they'll have the gift of remembering that. Because it was clear when they learned it, it was clear in the early age. You don't forget what you learn when you're early age. But when you learn later on, it's harder to keep in your memory. So the memory goes, because the memory's been used so many times. The memory is like a disk in your computer. Every time you rewrite the disk, you're losing part of the memory over there. So look what he says. This is pedagogy. This is Rabbi Lazar, this is Elisha ben Abuya. Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, Ish Kfar HaBabli Omer. HaLominimak Tanina Mo'adaber. A person who learns from people who are not qualified. What is it like? It's like eating raw grapes. You don't get the full benefit. You're making wine from raw grapes. The wine. So learning from people who are not qualified is like drinking wine from raw grapes. A person learns from elders who know what they're talking about. It's like eating ripe grapes and drinking old wine. It's beautiful. This is beautiful. So now, a person says, if I go to the young rabbi, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll go to the old rabbi. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, no, it's nothing to do with age. Al tistakel bakankan. Don't look at the packaging. The outer shape of the person is just a packaging. Look at what's inside the packaging. Yesh kankan chadash, there may be someone who looks young, but he's full of old knowledge. The yashan, and there's an old packaging, shafilu chadash in bo. Doesn't have even new learning in it. So you can't look at the packaging, you have to look at what's coming out of the package. Today you have very young rabbis who are very learned. Amazing, it's amazing today. Look on Torah anytime, you'll see young guys, brilliant. So it's not the age of the person, it's what comes out of the person, what's inside the person. Is the knowledge old? In other words, you can learn many books. You don't need to go through life and have that life experience. You can learn life experience from the books. That's what Kohelet says. Kohelet says, read my book and you won't need to know, do all these mistakes. You won't have to experiment in your life. Read from my experiments. I did all the experiments for you. I ate the food. I got married to 1,000 wives. I know what life is all about. I had gold, silver, and everything. I'm telling you my experience. Learn from experience of other people. That's Yashan already. If you have experience of other people, then you're like an elder person. So there's young people who are full of old wisdom, and there are old people who don't even have new wisdom. So it's a little bit of a dichotomy over here. The first opinion says, learn from the elders. The elders know what they're talking about. The young people don't know what they're talking about. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, an older person can be full of nothing, and a young person can be full of older wisdom. So it's not the packaging. Don't look at the packaging, but look at what's inside. And this is a very deep Kabbalistic concept. The Arizal says, you may see an old person, but the soul inside them may be very young. You may see a young baby, but the soul inside them may be very old. So the outside wrapper, the guy is a baby. But the soul, you can see inside, looks like an old man. There's an old person inside this. Yeah, so there's an old soul inside a young person, or there could be a new soul in an older person. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Thank you.